Heavens for the choir.
It's you.
Thank you. I'm so pleased to unite with you today as you worship in celebration of community, in celebration of Black History Month. One day, maybe when my granddaughter's a little older, there won't be a month. There may be a whole year. You never know. A whole year. They're there all the time. Not bringing a message in the traditional sense, but talking to you a little bit about my family in Boise, Idaho, that we have lived in the Boise Valley for over 100 years, and I just bring that personal lens to you. A journey of, yes, there were Black folks here in 1905. When I do my work out in the community and across the United States, people go, "Where are you from?" And I go, "Boise, Idaho," and they go, "Oh." And Black people go, "Oh." So it always opens a great conversation. So for just a few moments, I'll talk about the migration of my family, their challenges and their successes, and the point of intersection of three families here in the Boise Valley. And it was, of course, at the Black church. Interesting. Some of my family, you'd wondered if they'd ever stepped in the Black church, but yes. Okay. So the migration of my family to Idaho, that's what we'll start with. There are three families that I'll talk about. One is William Riley Hardy and his wife, Maddie Hardy. That's my father's grandparents. Okay? Then we're going to talk about Emmanuel and Ella Mae Buckner, my father's grandparents on the paternal side. Then we're going to talk about Luther and Pearl. You thought I was going to say Shaniqua, didn't you? No, sorry. Luther and Pearl Johnson, who were my mother's parents, all who came to live in Idaho. So William Riley came from St. Louis originally, and just before he and my great-grandmother moved to Idaho, they were living in Pueblo, Colorado, where he founded a church. He was a preacher, and he was a carpenter. So he built the church in a very real sense, both from an emotional, organizational standpoint, and also from the hammer and the saw. And when we ask relatives why he chose Boise, Idaho, because I, like you, was surprised Black folks wanted to come to Idaho, they said God sent him. That stops the conversation. You go, oh, I got it. So he worked here by himself for a few years and founded a church. And that church met from house to house. They met in a blacksmith shop. They met in people's homes. Other churches were kind enough to let them move there. And finally, he sent for my great-grandmother. And they lived on East Bannock Street in a house that I still own. There were three generations that lived there. I don't live there, but I own it. And it's really about time to let it go. But you know, those things get hard, don't they? They get really hard. It gets really hard. Anyway, Mrs. Hardy did some work for people on the avenue. She took in laundry, and she was an amazing ironing person. But they called her, what was the word? Carol, do you remember the word? But it was a real uptown word for I iron your clothes. I thought that was really meaningful. So after a period of time, Grandfather decided he really would like to have a building that was truly to house that church. By this time, his father-in-law, that would be my great-great-grandfather, had come here to help him out. An amazing undertaking. They went walking around talking to people about needing a church, and a Basque woman named Mrs. Gestel said, "I just might sell you some property." Now, that doesn't sound that unique in this day and age, but Basque went through a really rough time in our community also. And that she was gutsy enough to sell to a Black church, which was a very small number of Black people, who most couldn't even own a house at that time, who most did all of their work as the help, if you will, was a really amazing, amazing act. The property was on Broadway Avenue, about a half block off of Warm Springs. The Avenue, you remember the Avenue was a very grand place, a very grand place. But she decided she would sell it to him. So she did. And Grandfather and great-grandfather and members of the community, almost all Black members of the congregation, built the church. More about that later. Ella Mae and Emmanuel Buckner, born in Missouri, and one in Missouri and one in Illinois, lived in Oklahoma, Nebraska, Kansas, and Colorado before moving to Idaho. They had 11 children. Those moves were substantial. 11 children. Why did they come to Idaho? There's a theme through all of these, like your families possibly who first came to Idaho, for the same reason, for a better life for their families. They came to homestead. When I asked my grandfather, Claude, why his father chose Idaho, he said, "Dad had a knack of finding any piece of ground that wasn't worth a darn, and he had to have it." So they moved to Homedale. Ultimately, they moved to Nampa. Homedale, Nampa. Wow, you know, that was something. And they used to tell me, by the way, when we lived in Nampa, there was a black doctor there. I hardly believed it for the longest. He was a podiatrist. So I guess if you work your way up, he really had a practice. And there were not black folks he was taking care of. This is a big deal. I actually met him. That also speaks to my age, so I think I'll let that go. So ultimately, they moved to Boise. But even as they lived in Homedale and as they lived in Nampa, they came to know the Hardy family through the St. Paul Baptist Church, which my grandfather erected. Now, the Buckners were good Methodists. They weren't rowdy like the Baptists. They believed in worshiping in a more dignified way. And yet, they did want to come around a few black folk, so they came to St. Paul Baptist Church. Now, the Johnsons didn't come to Idaho until about 1930s. They came from Van Buren, Arkansas. One of my aunts, my mother's sister, Leo Dell, had the wonderful fortune of marrying a railroad man. It was just such a blessing. She got to travel the world with a railroad man. So she landed in Minidoka, Idaho. The family was so proud. Minidoka, hallelujah. And while she was there, she met another unmarried, lovely black man named Melvin Stevens. And so word went out, which is not easy to do. It was because the uncles were riding the rails as porters. So they sent the word back and forth. She said, found a great black man. He's single. He's got a job. He works for the railroad. Tell one of the sisters to come on down. So Ellen jumped on the train, came down, met Melvin, went back, closed up the house, came back, married him. So one by one, we all came. Most of the younger children came by virtue of getting free passage with those railroad men on the railroad. All the family was here except Grandpa, one uncle, that was Russell, and a couple of people that they kind of raised all along, that tagged along. So when Grandpa finally decided to make his, this is Luther Johnson, they called him Pistol back in the day. We'll talk about that later too. Decided to come down. They decided to jump the rail car. They didn't buy a ticket. They decided to hobo, as they called it, down. And so these were all very religious people, really amazing people with great faith. And so they jumped on the train, and it was a long trip, and they had the unfortunate misfortune of coming in the fall. It was kind of a late period of time. They came through and they got to Salt Lake, and there was a terrible storm, and they were rousted. And Grandpa used to say to us how blessed they were, because many of the men that were not rousted from that train died. They perished. They froze to death. And so Grandpa said that they prayed together as they sat in the sail and thanked the Lord for their fortune, and just thought they were just blessed. And so when the jailer told him the next day, you know, I'm really not going to keep you. I know you want to get to your family. It's going to be a long road. So we're going to let you go, but I want you to stop your wicked ways. And of course, my grandfather said, bless you. And so it was. And so he walked to the railroad yard. And so they jumped on the train and came on to Idaho. What can I say? One by one, all the Johnsons got here. And then again, all of them met together at St. Paul Baptist Church. And what's the opportunity at the church? What's the opportunity? People came from every walk of life, every religious tradition, some no religious tradition, because it was also the center, the hub, where people could come together and fellowship in somewhat like traditions. Now, I don't want you to walk away here from here thinking that all black folks think alike, sing alike. By the way, all black folks can't sing. I just want to make that known. Amen. We like to think. I tell people every Sunday, this is not true. No, honey, think about the usher board or something. Okay. Many of the families worked in, again, helping traditions. And there was a hierarchy even here. The railroad was one great opportunity because it had some continuity and it had a uniform. You know, I'm really serious. We take these things for granted. When things are sparse and you have limited means, a uniform's a pretty cool thing. You're not buying clothes. You're doing what you need to. It's really kind of an interesting thing. There was a hierarchy of who cooked best, and cooking was an art. Who cooked best? Because you got the best jobs if you cooked well. My grandmother told me about a woman that lived in Boise, and her name was Mamie Green, and she was really revered. They took her in as family. Everybody was family, whether they were or not. You didn't want to get too close because you needed to marry one of those guys or you're in trouble, you know what I mean? But and she actually was known as a cateress, not a cook, a cateress. And she cooked for the women and men on the avenue. And people planned their social calendar about whether the cateress was available. And she had a very unique uniform, white starched and a hat and all that. But she also wore a tool belt. And on that tool belt, she carried pots and pans. Because I don't want to hurt your feelings in this house of worship. But she said, white folks don't know how to season their pans. You know, she had to make sure they were seasoned and cared for right. So I have cookbooks of her. She was an amazing woman. She even bought a house on Harrison Boulevard. And Harrison was second to the avenue. What bad girl she was. So in this church, there was a worship in the African-American tradition, often the center of community. But again, there were blacks that were Methodist, Baptist, and Mormon. There were black Mormons. There were families that came with the Mormon migration to Boise, Idaho, and worshiped there. The expectations were hard work. The expectations were difficult. People expected it to be hard. And the song that I first remember hearing when I was about 5 years old, that seemed to be the end. Lord, don't move the mountain. Just give me the strength to climb. Please don't move that stumbling block. Just keep me all around it. When I was young, I thought it was a great song. When I was older, I understood the significance of it. So there's the Buckners, there's the Johnsons, there's the Hardys, and lo and behold, the Buckners and the Hardys were married. That's my great-great-grandparents. And then the Johnsons showed up, so my mom and dad married each other. It's a narrow community. I can remember asking Grandpa how he married Grandma, and he said, well, remember, there weren't many of us here. That's a real love connection. And then my mother and father married, and over and over these families stayed for a long, long time. There are four children in my family. That's the baby over there. That's my baby sister. She's so sick of that. I have a brother, and I met someone who went to college with my brother here. We've stayed in this community. People ask us about that. Because if you worked in positions, I often say, when people say, how did you decide to run for office? I said, I wanted to go from the help to the house. And that's, you know, because that movie just came out. You know, I'm going to hook it, you know, whatever. It's an opportunity. The things that we love about Idaho are also sometimes a trial. I can remember being 17 years old, and a gentleman named Paul Bellison sent a letter to the Ku Klux Klan and asked them if they could join. And they didn't do their homework. They came. They went to his house. This little black woman opened the door. She said he's working down at the school. They figured he had a maid. Really humble house to have a maid. Went to the school. They found him. He was a very black man, if you understand what I'm saying. I mean, you didn't think he was maybe something. He was black. They were very chagrined that that happened. And then again, when I ran for office, the Klan showed up again and said, hello, what are you doing? So I felt comfortable. I knew I was still in my community. You know, something that I could understand. It was something that I understood. And when I say that, when I talk about my family here, I want you to know, people say, I just love it. The day I got elected the first time, they said, what's it like to be black and female? Good. Hey, really good. Works for me. So I would say to you that there's the sameness difference paradox. The reason that we are in Idaho and the reason we love Idaho is the same reason that you left here. You found a way of life, a community, a faith tradition that works for you. So all of the things that may have been trials are no different than perhaps your trial. Well, they're different. Maybe they're different, but we have some sameness and difference and some difference and sameness. And one of the stereotypes that I try very often to dispel, which we hold in my own community, is that we have a problem with time. So I have my sister keeping the time for me, and I think I'm almost at 20 minutes. But anytime you want to talk about black like me, just give me a holler. I'd be glad to see you. Thank you for the opportunity to worship with you today.